Because according to the Mahabharata, what is the situation here? just happened. And Krishna is bad for me. What was the incident with Krishna and the Pandavas? It was the battle of Ashwatthama.
Vision today.
not described in chronological order. Sometimes one verse, half a verse, some months here and the other half of the verse is some months further down the track if you sort of look very carefully. In order to just set a basic scene for the describing the prayers of the particular persons. So the main point here, of course, is Uttara hurrying toward Krishna with in fear. And it describes here that all the members of the Pandavas were completely dependent upon the protection of the Lord, and therefore the Lord protected them in all circumstances. So, Uttara, we know, is a pure devotee of the Lord. Srila Swami Maharaj describes that she, just as Arjuna previously approached Krishna in fear and surrendered unto him, Uttara is doing a similar thing here. So Srila Swami mentions that no one is without fear. Everyone has fear. So here we see the devotees have some mood of fear. Of course, the fear of the devotee is different to the fear of the non-devotees. What would be the fear of Uttara? If it's not a material fear, how would the fear be manifested in a more spiritual way or devotional way? Is she fearing that her body will be smashed to pieces? What's her fear?
She's not fearing for her life, she's fearing for me.
Exactly. For the child within the womb, who's a devotee of the Lord, she has a fear that something will happen to a devotee. So that is a different type of fear. The fear of the materialist is based upon somehow the sense gratification will be disturbed. Because here, their fears are all related to Krishna, devotional service. We see that Srila Prabhupada mentions in the 10th canto that although he knows, he writes it in his purport book, and I think also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita there's some, that although he knows that this movement is not different from Krishna, still he always has that anxiety, that fear the demons will check it somehow like that. Even though you know that the movement is Krishna, there's nothing that can happen, but there's that fear, it's natural that something may check it like that. So that fear, of course, is based on love, love for Krishna. So again, it's transcendental. So what are the fears of the devotees? The devotees, if we look at the animal species of life, we see that they, looking for some food and
shelter,
mating, food and water, somewhere to be protected from the elements, the heat, the rain, like that. To be protected from predators, like that. That is their fear. Very horrible existence in the animal species of life. Actually, most humans, live on the same platform. Very, very fearful. Very fearful to And of course, modern civilization is very good at exploiting the fear factor within humans, because they're not much more elevated than polished animals. So they utilize fear to keep them in a slave mentality, scared to people they if you get a job, and then sometimes the boss can be really mean, the co-workers can be really mean, if you somehow just don't quite fit in. But if you they can harass you on a daily basis. But there's that fear that, I won't say anything because I'll lose my job. If I lose my job, how will I exist? So people, and people live in terrible circumstances. People work in, horrible, horrible circumstances. They're very, very fearful. That they'll put up with all sorts of dangers because, they're very, very fearful. If I lose my job, what will I do? That's like the ass mentality. The ass works very, very hard, carries a big load on its back, and there's a little carrot in front of it, and it keeps walking, and it thinks that when I get to the end, although it can barely, its little spindly legs, it can barely carry the load, and it has to walk for miles and miles and miles, very difficult. Even though it could stop and just eat the grass on the side of the road, it's actually the master has exploited the fear factor that you can only get food from me. It's the same actually in employment, it's like that. Although actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests unlimited opulence, even in the material. Well, the speaker, he has unlimited spiritual potencies. But still, people become very, very fearful. Very fearful. And you see in different parts of the world that, some of the conditions that people live in is practically a daily torture of people. People live in conditions so horrible that they're just wondering whether they should continue to live, because there's such a horrible condition. But out of fear, they just feel that I cannot move to somewhere else. Like Chanakya Pandit says that if you live in a country, or you live in a place, or you live in an environment where you're not respected, it's very inauspicious, you should really leave. An intelligent person, here is a place that's inauspicious. There's no one respects, people treat me like a dog. I'll just go. But in the day, people are exploited by the fear factor. And so they don't. Where can I go? There's nowhere to go. And we see Narada Muni. Narada Muni was 5 years old. His mother was bitten by a snake. And he didn't think, there's so many snakes out there, I better not go. And my mother's been bitten by a snake. And he just, took off, just headed north, and didn't look back. Went through the forest. Cities, with the good people, bad people, just travel, just like that, no fear. And always just living by the protection of the Lord. Actually, I used to practice that when I was a teenager, sometimes on the weekend, just to cultivate the mentality that. Not to live in fear. I would actually just hitchhike, and I would just pick a direction, and I'll just travel as far as I could, maybe for a day or 2 days, but as far as I could, a couple of hundred miles, and then just see when I was there, you know, whether I had somewhere to sleep, whether I could get some food. It's surprising, you know, in every circumstance, if you would meet someone, they'd say, "Oh, what are you doing here?" "Oh, I'm just, you know, traveling." "Oh, you know, you can come and sleep here, you can come here." You know, people put me on the motorbike and drove me home, gave me a tour. You stay there a couple of days and you go. Another thing I used to do is to, I used to go camping by myself in the forest. And, you know, spend maybe a week, a couple of weeks. Especially in Australia, they have all sorts of strange noises. The animals in Australia make really strange noises. That's about koala bears sound like they're, you know, someone's being murdered. You ever heard koala bears? No? You never heard? Really? It's like, you know, it sounds like a woman and a child being attacked by the devil. It's, you know, it's unbelievable. You know, if you go to the farm sometime, you get up and you listen to the koalas, it is a devilish sound. You'd think somebody's being murdered. You know, you know. But, you know, there's so many different, and you're camping, you're by yourself, it's pitch black, you can't see your hand in front of your face, you hear all footsteps coming around like this. You know. They're very, very scary. But, you know, in order to, you know, not live in fear, but, because things are very different these days, because, you know, you go back 30 years, because if you wanted a job, if you wanted to earn some money, you just spend a couple of hours, maybe a day at the most, you just go for a walk, you know, come to a couple of places and, you know, basically say, "Yeah, we'll give you a job." And, you know, they'd pay you cash, and you just work for as long as you like, a couple of weeks, you know, and you have that money, you just leave. And now that's that, you know, people, they get their contracts, and, you know, this and the other, it's absolutely fearful. That's the, you know, that's the governments of the world exploiting that. You know, also they exploit the fear factor in, you know, people become fearful of other nations. Or, you know, the Muslims coming together, and, you know, these ones, and the red peril, and the yellow peril, and this, that, and the other. You know. Actually, people used to ask Prabhupada, you know, "Oh, you've been to Russia, you know, you've been to the Muslim countries, what do you think of the people?" A part of the standard answer. Everywhere the people are nice, it's the governments who are you know, the rascals. Everywhere the people are nice, they're just being misled by the governments. And we see that, you know, because the devotees, of course, you can go to any country in the world, and, you know, if you spend some time, gradually people like to chant Hare Krishna and eat prasad and dance just like us. You know, they're nice people like that, but they're just living in fear, you know, being conditioned, you know, by hatred and, you know, so many different things. But so the animals live in fear, the humans live in fear. The devotees also have fear, but their fear is different. You know, the devotees, they have a fear that, you know, what would happen if I lost my taste for Krishna consciousness? You know, for that, you know, that for the devotees, that is a great fear. That somehow or another, you know, again become bewildered. And I just didn't want to go to the temple. And I didn't want to do any service. And, you know, I was somehow again just completely body, that should be, that is a good fear. And then, because it's possible. And sometimes we see that persons who are at some stage relishing in a very elevated spiritual consciousness. You know, if there are some offences to the devotees or sometimes to the deities, you know, Krishna can withdraw that taste. Usually, you know, if there are some offences, Krishna withdraws the taste of devotional service. This is described in Harinam Chintamani, that Krishna withdraws the taste, and because one, even though one can perform devotional activities, Krishna withdraws the taste, means that we have to get a taste somewhere, so we start trying to get a taste in material things. We also start seeing devotees and devotional service in a material way, like this. So, and then of course devotees can go back to, you know, in essence, sometimes living, you know, in a fearful, anxiety sort of state, rather than the blissful consciousness of being Krishna conscious. We were very fortunate, of course, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us an understanding that, you know, the existence which is manifested by the Supreme Personality of Godhead allows us to relish the taste of transcendental love for eternity. And to have that consciousness again covered is very, very fearful. Actually, the greatest pleasure is the pleasure of being so overwhelmed with pure love for the Supreme Lord and His associates, no trace for any personal, you know, motivation or sense gratification, just living for the joy to, you know, see the happiness of the beloved. Very, very, very different from, you know, the animals who are, you know, their joy is, yes, we'll get a little bug under that tree, and like that, and, you know, killed that mouse, and, you know, it's very low sort of pleasure. But, you know, if Krishna wants it, he can put any living entity into that position, which is very, very few. Somehow or another, actually all of us, maybe most of us, have actually spent millions and millions of years, you know, just completely forgetful, you know. No understanding that there's Radha Krishna, no understanding of love at all. Not even, you know, the traps. There is eating, sleeping, making, and defending. There is no concept of love. Or to speak of transcendental, you know, which is the real love, transcendental love. There's no concept of that. A devotee's fear is, you know, to again be covered over like that, not to be able to relish that, not to be able to taste that, not to even, you know, for it to never even enter one's consciousness. So, you know, these are the anxieties or the fears of the devotee. You know, the fear that perhaps we may, you know, somehow inadvertently or sometimes even on purpose commit offences to the devotees, commit offences to the deities, commit offences to the guru. You know, devotees are always very, very careful to, you know, they have a healthy fear for those things. They don't take those things lightly. And by doing that, of course, they you know, get to exist on a platform of very, very elevated consciousness and always relishing you know, a life tasting, and gradually more and more entering into a very pure existence of transcendental love, reciprocating. Here, of course, there's another aspect to it. It describes here that the Lord is more attentive to the little son who is exclusively dependent upon the father. So again, devotees also they become somewhat in anxiety or fearful if they waste time. They want to always be trying to attract the attention of the Lord, attract His mercy, always trying to perform devotional service. And devotees try to come to a platform of lodham, or intense greed to be given shelter by the Brajavasis of Vrindavan. And because it is described that even if you worship Krishna, you may not necessarily go back to Krishna Loka. You can, according to your mood, like Vishnu Day, when we hear that Vishnu Day worship Lord Krishna, but when he returned to Vaikuntha, you can worship Krishna, but until you come to the point of actually following in the footsteps of the Brajavasis, that's when your destination of Krishna Loka is assured. You actually have to follow in the footsteps of the Brajavasis, especially go to Goloka Vrindavan. And the mood of the Brajavasis is that intense yearning, spontaneous, just like there's a natural attraction for a boy and a girl. There's an intense yearning. No one has to teach them, this, that, and the other. It is a spontaneous, natural, all-consuming desire. Of course, because it's material, it doesn't last. But on the spiritual platform, we try to come to that platform with Krishna. It's a very spontaneous, all-consuming, natural attraction to Krishna. It just overrides everything. And of course, sankirtan is very, very good, for developing that mood. The preacher has. That's why Srila Prabhupada, particularly, he always wanted to encourage his devotees to preach Krishna consciousness. Because generally, when we worship Krishna through deity worship, generally we're worshipping in Vaidhi Bhakti. One who worships Krishna through preaching, a strong preaching mood of hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna, that is more the Raga Marg, the spontaneous platform, where for the service of Krishna, there is a willingness to just drop everything in order to for Krishna's satisfaction. Drop all personal comforts. We see that the gopis had that mood, that when Krishna played his flute, the gopis just, whatever they were doing, they just stopped instantly. Some of them are feeding the babies, some of them are cooking, doing something for the husband, doing something. They hear Krishna's flute, and they just stop everything. Or Krishna's calling. But without regard for this circumstance, they just, went, we better get ready. So, they put on some, jewelry. saris and the top part and bottom part, and got everything mixed up, topsy turvy, in such a hurry to they didn't even care what they looked like. And as Krishna is called, just spontaneously powerful. Sankirtan is very good for actually developing that sort of spontaneous mood and that mood of dropping all other considerations for serving Krishna, pleasing Krishna. And it's possible to do that through the deity worship as well. It's a little harder. Sankirtan is very, very conducive to that. Preaching, book distribution, or something, going out and meeting people, helping people to become Krishna conscious, or collecting Lakshmi, but getting out and just, reaching out is table music, that's right, outreach, and that. Just actually reaching out to the conditioned souls. Because that's another view of the devotees. You see that, Prahlada Maharaj, he said, I have no fear for myself. My anxiety is that, these persons are living without Krishna consciousness. That is great compassion. Generally, sometimes we have that compassion. We get a glimpse of it on the bodily platform that, if our sister or our brother or our children or our parents were in some mortal danger, we would just drop everything, for that. But usually it's based upon because of some bodily relative or some personal friend. The mood of the Sankirtan devotee is actually more broad-minded, that they actually see all people as like their brothers and sisters in the same way. But they will treat every single person, not just the humans, but also the animal species as well. They treat them in the same way, that this is my most dearest brother, sister, like that child, whatever. They have that natural compassion, and they look at them in the same way. The fear that this person may, end up in a situation completely covered over by the most material nature for millions and millions and millions of lifetimes. That's fear and that anxiety is there also in a way. So there's actually a nice in the 10th canto. Chapter 2, verse number 8, there's a nice description of how fear works in the life of a devotee. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, a pure devotee is always transcendently situated because of executing 9 different processes of bhakti yoga. Thus situated in devotional service of the devotee, although in the material world, is not in the material world, yet a devotee always fears. Quote, because I'm associated with the material world, so many contaminations affect me. Therefore, he is always alert in fear, which gradually diminishes his material association. And of course, this is one of the great challenges manifestation in one sense of the fearlessness of the preacher, that when you step out of the temple, in the temple it's a lot easier to be Krishna conscious, there's rather over there, and the deities, Prabhupada, and so many devotees, Prasad, very easy to be Krishna conscious. When you get out on the street, that's the Maya just comes at you from every possible angle, like that. And especially if you're out there trying to preach, then you're actually declaring a little bit of a war against Maya. preaching you do today. And then, so, you know, there's, you know, Srila Prabhupada, of course, you know, many people have great fear for Prabhupada that he was going to the West, to New York, at his age, you know, but at any age, you know, a respectable, saintly person going to New York from Vrindavan is a, you know, most of the sadhus in Vrindavan, all of them. Actually, I think there was only one who had the, you know, courage to do that, and that was Srila Prabhupada. And no one could consider leaving, you know, the holy place and going to New York of all places. So there's, you know, that contamination is there, that contamination may affect me. Prabhupada says, therefore he is always alert in fear, which gradually diminishes his material association. So that alertness in fear removes the material association. If that alertness and, you know, in fear is not there, that's very dangerous. Symbolically, Mother Devaki's constant fear of Kamsa was purifying her. A pure devotee should always fear material association, and in this way all the asuras of material association will be killed, as the sat gata asuras were killed by Kamsa. So he explains this analogy a little bit more. It is said that from the mind, Marichi appears. So in other words, Marichi is an incarnation of the mind. Marichi has six sons: Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Maddha, Matsara. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in pure devotional service. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Bhakti, Yivenam, Darshati. Only Bhakti can bring one in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in the womb of Devaki. And therefore, Devaki symbolically represents Bhakti, and Kamsa symbolically represents material fear. When a pure devotee always fears material association, so Devaki feared Kamsa. When a pure devotee always fears material association, his real position of Bhakti is manifested, and he naturally becomes uninterested in material enjoyment. When the six sons of Marichi are killed by such fear, and one is free from material contamination, within the womb of Bhakti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. So, you know, that Prabhupada mentions a little further down. Thus, the seventh pregnancy of Devaki signifies the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After the six sons, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Maddha, and Matsara, are killed, the satyam incarnation creates a suitable situation for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in other words, when one awakens his natural Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna appears. So that's our bhakti, as we're hearing and chanting and serving and preaching, you know, if there is a healthy fear of the dangers of preaching, especially in the Western world, of being contaminated, covered, you know, bound and plundered by the rogues, lust, greed, and anger. You know, when there's a fear of that, it actually allows the bhakti to manifest fully. When there's no fear, that bhakti can actually become covered. But when the bhakti manifests fully, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. So therefore we see here that Uttara was running, or hurrying, as it says, towards Krishna in fear, and Srila Prabhupada mentions that all of the members of the family of Pandavas were completely dependent upon the protection of the Lord, and therefore the Lord protected all of them in all circumstances. So they always, you know, they always, although they were transcendental personalities, one would wonder, you know, why would they need protection? You know, there are still different varieties of fear on the transcendental platform which are conducive to purification in the beginning stages, and even on the stages of one being a pure devotee of the Lord, there are different stages of fear and anxiety which embellish the loving transactions between the Lord. Just like the Ramayana, you know, the Ramayana, one may consider the Ramayana tragedy. Actually, Prabhupada says no. The Ramayana is actually for those who understand transcendental rasa. The Ramayana is a beautiful love story. It's not a tragedy. You know, if you enjoy tasting love in all different varieties, and you, as you read the Ramayana, you will taste love and separation. You know, devotees seeking protection. You know, the Lord protecting. These are all different varieties of loving transactions, actually. And in the ultimate sense, there's no question of tragedy, because all the heroes and heroines are completely victorious and after a lifetime of transcendental loving transactions. So similarly, even on, for devotees, on any platform of life, whether they're a beginning devotee or an elevated devotee, you know, that fear propensity can be dovetailed or, you know, part of one's transcendental emotions in one's loving reciprocation to the Supreme Lord, as is here with Uttara. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments. Yes.
If this happens and you don't know what offense you committed, what can you
do? Well, it's usually not like that, but Srila Prabhupada explains, you know, for one who's sincere, you know, generally they don't make such big mistakes. That sincerity protects one from making a mistake. If Krishna says that one is sincere, he will always give the opportunity for someone to point out, or, you know, this perhaps could have been a little offensive, or you might be flicking through the books and, you know, you see, oh gee, that's just what I was saying, it's offensive. You walk into the Karanada room, there'll be a tape going, and one of the gurus will be saying, oh, that was offensive. It's always, you know, if the sincerity is there, and from within the heart as well, Krishna will always give you ample opportunity to understand that, okay, some mistake has been made. And if a person is, has that healthy respect and fear, you know, I don't want to lose consciousness of loving Krishna, then they will try to rectify that. If persons are insincere, you know, then even when ample opportunity is you know, given by the Lord, from within, without, from so many different sources, they're blind and deaf. There's none so blind as those that do not wish to see. None so deaf as those who do not wish to hear. But for everyone who is sincere, there's no real danger. You know, and especially if that healthy fear and respect is there for the way the material energy covers our intelligence. Mm.
Srila Prabhupada was coming to request even wife of Munati Desai, Suman Desai. She was worried that at the age of 69, I want to go to New York.
Yes, that's right. Yes. So Prabhupada took a lot of risks. And sometimes he had to run for his wife in fear. You know, and everything was in the Bowery, and he was up in the loft, and you know that the person he was staying with, sharing the place with, became a little drug crazed and started looking at him like he was a tiger ready to, you know, pounce on Prabhupada. Prabhupada had to just drop everything and run, you know, down those